order. We are now on general order day two on our agenda. And this is when amendments may be proposed. You should have a copy. Okay, we'll start with ONCA 1703. ONCA 1703, an act to authorize and appropriate $4,000 to the executive branch for the purpose of sovereignty day and to establish an alternate effective date. Are there any amendments to be proposed to this bill? Okay, seeing none. ONCA 1703 is advanced to third reading after engrossment. Next is ONCA 1706. An act to amend ONCA 16107 that created the Osage Nation Retained Revenue Fund and to establish an alternate effective date. You, Congresswoman Edwards?
Page 1, line 44, strike 100% and insert 50%.
Second.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Page 2, line 59, strike supermajority of 8, parentheses 8, close parentheses, affirmative votes, and insert majority of affirmative votes.
Second.
These are noted as two separate amendments, so we're going to vote on the first one first. So you all should have a copy in front of Congresswoman Edwards.
Move to suspend the rules, modify the agenda, and place ONCA 1706 on general order day three.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to place 170, I'm sorry, did you say three and six? Just six, okay. Excuse me, 1706 on general order day three on today's agenda. Seconded. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no?
No.
None. Roll call.
Congresswoman Edwards?
No.
Congressman Hamilton?
No.
Congressman Maker?
No.
Congressman Mason?
No.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Shaw?
Yes.
Congressman Supermom?
No.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
No.
Congresswoman Bethlehem?
Yes.
Speaker
Pratt? Yes. Motion fails. Okay.
Give Congressman Shaw another day to lobby against it.
Congresswoman Edwards, we're now on motions and notices. Are there any motions or notices? Congresswoman Edwards.
Rules and ethics at noon. We have one bill to engross, and we're going to clean up some bills and rules.
Congresswoman Buffalo Head.
I move to place ONCA 1712 on the proclamation for the third special session.
Second.
Okay, motion's made and seconded to place ONCA 1712. On the proclamation and seconded discussion. Congresswoman Edwards.
That's a bill that seeks to repeal the merit-based performance system.
Or no, it is not. Yes, it is. I'm sorry. think reading the second half of the title. Yes, it is.
That bill has been implemented, and we passed various other bills. And those bills have been implemented in furtherance of the law. I have submitted two amendments based on some of the discussions that I understood were the sticking points. The rest of the law, as I will show you through a timeline, was a over a year-long process. So to just scrap it on some basis that I am unaware of is, to me, makes the Congress look bad, and I'm not. More importantly than that, it undermines a lot of hard work. So I think that amendment's the appropriate route to go, and I would not ask this Congress on a day's notice and with 5 days before Christmas to just repeal what's been worked on for over a year.
Thank you.
To even consider it, because I think if you're going to consider it, it's going to take a long time. I think it deserves the same amount of consideration that it did to get the bill in place.
Okay, thank you. Congressman Walker?
All good points, Congresswoman. However, if we get it on the proclamation, we realize that you filed a bill that has amendments. I think the amendments, the way I've read them, are good amendments. But I think getting this on the proclamation gives each of us an opportunity to review 16-100 and consider both bills. And they would be, in essence, competing bills, in my opinion. So to get it out there for consideration would be a good idea.
Thank you, Congresswoman Evers.
Well, but the effect of putting it on the agenda is to prepare then to discuss discarding the entire thing. And I don't think that you can make a decision about that without, I don't think we should repeal a bill without spending the amount of time that it takes to consider it in a committee. And as far as I know, at least three members are not going to be here after next Tuesday. This is if this was going to be the thing that we were going to do in a special session, to me, we should have spent 10 days and met all day, every day, and worked on it. But to now look at it on, to even get it on a committee agenda, at least three of the members are not going to be here. And it's going to run into, we would need an extension, and we should run into Christmas time, close to Christmas time. And I don't see the need for it right now.
Congressman Walker.
Will it be used? Are they using it?
Congressman Shaw is first. I apologize.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Well, I would echo and emphasize the points made by my colleague, Congresswoman Edwards, that it's late in this special session to propose a major look at the merit bill. I know there are many of us that believe in many parts of the merit bill as it stands. And I believe there were two or three main provisions that are being addressed. And to repeal the entire bill, put it at risk of being appealed, but putting it on the proclamation is a risk that I don't think that we need to put that merit bill in jeopardy by adding up the proclamation at this time. You know, really, to a certain degree, to vote to put it on the proclamation is a vote for or against even considering it. It has to make it to the proclamation to have a chance to be considered. We all know that. That's the ultimate thing of what we're even deciding right now. But as they get the proclamation, that's almost essentially voting it down to a realistic degree. But if I'm in favor of amending it and not repealing it, I feel like I must vote against putting it on the proclamation.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Congressman Walker.
Well, I was going to speak more to what Congresswoman Edwards said and point out that, in my opinion, the same thing could be said about the amendments bill that she submitted. From my understanding, the amendments bill isn't going to be heard until Monday, next Monday, in committee. That would give this bill the opportunity to be heard on Monday as well, We voted to put it on the proclamation, and we voted to put your bill on the proclamation. It didn't make it. It wasn't on first reading on day one.
I'm sorry, Congresswoman Buffalo Head?
Well, I hear what some of my colleagues are saying. I realistically do not think that we're going to be able to amend 16-100 to everyone in this room's satisfaction. It's unfortunate that when 16-100 was filed, that the executive branch sent out an email to employees forbidding them to speak to Congress members. That was a piece of legislation that directly affected them. But they were told in an email that we all received that they couldn't come over and participate with Congress members on any discussion for anything. Then executive branch determined that they weren't going to come over and participate in any discussions, even at the highest levels. So they didn't come over and discuss any of a lot of these things could have been addressed in committee, as they normally are every session, with just simple communication. But the executive branch didn't want to participate. And then we went on with business and passed it out the door, but we didn't hear from the people that it affects the most, which are the employees. And then from what I'm hearing, there are ways that the executive branch is interpreting this piece of legislation that I don't think any of us could have foreseen. That discussions that there was a big to-do over Thanksgiving. Well, the law says it refers to the Osage Nation holiday list, and you pull the Osage Nation holiday list out, and Thursday and Friday is on there. But the employees were told they wouldn't get Friday off. There were a lot of unforeseen consequences to that, and it's not anything that I believe this branch did. It's the way that it's being interpreted over on the executive side. So I think that we're not going to be able to address all of those things in a special session where we've got 10 or 12 other items on our proclamation. And my way of dealing with that so that employees are not put in a situation of stress is to just repeal and work on it between now and spring and roll it back out. That's my opinion.
Congresswoman Edwards?
I agree that the administration has put out nonsensical information and laid blame to a law as the reason for that, but the reality of it is it's not even true. So, and I've made that point. The other thing is, when you say, okay, the legislative branch is doing its job and we have suffered through an entire 28-day session, as you all well know, not getting any input on any of our legislation last session. So to say that the standard is that our administration doesn't participate in our legislative process, which is open to the public, which is as transparent as we can make it, if they choose not to do so, and then we pass laws that they don't like without the benefit of their input that could impact changing it and making it better, then we turn around and just repeal everything that we've done. Because they say, sorry, we didn't want to participate and we don't like it. Well, and we're going to make up things about it. I mean, I agree with you. I was appalled at how this Thanksgiving holiday was handled. But the fact of the matter is, a Thanksgiving holiday is what's reported in the handbook. Now, what does this mean? It means we need more law rather than less law, in my opinion. We need to set out in law what the holidays are of the nation. So for the protection of the employees of three branches of government, not just one branch, three branches, because our employees the legislative branch employees were impacted too. And why shouldn't we have just looked at our law and said, oh, these are the official holidays of the Osage Nation? We couldn't do that because we don't have a law like that. We should. The merit bill doesn't address that other than it has a definition for holidays. And the holidays were the same as what was in the merit employee handbook that Congress had no hand in writing. So, were we used? I believe so. For what purpose? I have no idea. But who did it impact? It did impact employees of the nation as a whole. But it was not the fault of this legislation.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, I'd just like to agree with Congressman Shaw that a vote to put the repeal on the proclamation would mean that you would even consider, that you would consider repealing the legislation that we passed in the previous session. I'm under the same belief that the colleagues that have spoke up, that we've worked very hard on this merit bill. There's two other bills that are components of this bill having to do with the employees' base pay adjustments, which I understand we've appropriated, but the executive is not giving those base pay adjustments for some reason out of that appropriation bill and the bonuses. So that all works together, and it's their choice not to faithfully execute the laws of the nation. It's there. We've done the work. We've set the framework. It's in for amendment on the points that the employees are having trouble with. And I believe we have plenty of time to address those issues. This bill isn't going to end up to everyone's satisfaction. No piece of legislation, or very rarely does a piece of legislation satisfy everybody in all branches of government. But that's our burden that we have to do, and I believe that we've started down a good path to get this merit system of employment for our employees going, to add extra protections for them. And I'm in agreement. We were here, Congresswoman Buffalo Head said the executive chose not to participate in our last legislative session. It's true. But we did continue on and do the work of the legislature. To me, it makes no sense to let them, to let the executive stymie the legislative process and just repeal our work because they didn't show up to the table. I think we can fix this. I don't support repealing it. I support working towards a fix. That's our jobs. That's what we sit here to do. Because somebody's made an agreement to repeal or to start at that point, I'm not there. I can't go to ground zero and start over on this. So I don't support putting this on the proclamation to repeal the merit bill.
Believe you were first, Congressman Walker.
The lawsuit's already been filed, and my belief is that if we do repeal, then we'll revert back to the former Pay for Performance Act. Even after the repeal, it's also my belief that the court is going to rule prior to the spring session. So to Congresswoman Buffalo Head's point, we could utilize the court's opinion and correct the law if needed. And in the meantime, over the holidays, the employees, you believe are being, this is being used as a tool for whatever reason, being used, the employees are being negatively affected because of this law, then we take away that tool and we utilize the Supreme Court ruling as a tool to correct it and make it better. So I think the repeal is at least something we should consider, add it to the proclamation. Determines over the next week, of course, the committee meeting, hear certain things. We vote it down. Vote the amendments up. At least get it out there for consideration.
Thank you, Congressman Mason.
Yes, thank you. Since there's some opinions being expressed, I think I'll express mine at this time. A lot of times I remain quiet, just listen. In the early days, whenever we had a special session call, we used to think it was for one item. This Congress is going to come into special session, take care of one thing, because it was so important, that one item. We've since changed that over the years. And we come and had a call to come in here this session. Most of the items was dollars and cents, because we need more money to spend here and to make this work. Over these 72 hours or so, we've changed. And this already day three, 10-day special session. And what happens is that, I've seen this before, is that we get compressed here as a body. We get a lot of different things starting to fill our tables. And we get compressed with a short amount of time to make major decisions. Particular question about the merit bill, and if we all read the Constitution, everybody does, is that we're charged with that merit bill, and we have done that. It's not a perfect item. I don't know, it was said earlier that not everything we do over here is perfect. I haven't seen anything yet that's perfect from either side. I sit here and I wonder, we point finger over there, point finger over here, we point finger in here as to the cause and effect of decisions made. And I've said many times to my colleagues, mostly in private, but you know, this room here is where it happens for us in Congress. We birth an idea, we birth a piece of legislation. It's not a law until the chief signs it. If he doesn't like it, he can veto it, saying, I don't like it for these reasons. Any chief and many that sit there have vetoed many things that we've sent over, and we disagree and we override a veto most of the time. But on this issue here, this merit bill, and where we are in this day three of 10 days, like Congresswoman Buffalohead, I know she has a heart for the employees of this nation who are the frontliners. They offer the services to our people. These employees, and some of you have been in that position, to be paid staff, to be paid employees by this nation, to offer the best services that you can to our people. I support our employees. I want to be able to vote comfortably about things that affect our employees and their families and their children and their time that they put into the love of their people, because if they didn't, they probably wouldn't want to work here. They can go somewhere else and work. But they're here because they're Osages, and they want to work for Osages. They want to do the best they can for us, the decisions that we make here, whether it be on the executive side, this side, or ideally if we collectively can agree and birth a piece of legislation that's signed into law by the chief, hopefully it's going to be a good thing for our employees and their families and the work done. I strive to have good morale here for our people that work here. If you have a good employee base that feels good, they're happy people to work here. They want to come to work. They want to get fair pay, fair and equal pay, fair and equal rights, fair, and whatever we consider, whatever we're able to put out. If chief goes ahead and says okay, signs it into law, then it is. And maybe I'll feel comfortable with that. I'm uncomfortable now as I sit here, because I know there's disagreement, there's different opinion on how we deal with this. And yes, I wished I had more than 7 more days and 12 hours in a day, 18 hours, whatever we put into it every day. But we got a lot of things to consider. And like I said, we're just compressed. And I just wanted to share that feeling of discomfort that I have right now. I've been sitting and listening to various committee meetings and some that have yet to be made, of the expressions being made from the executive, from within ourselves, the agreements and disagreements. Some of that I feel uncomfortable about, as far as the progress of us being, using the best that we can, the best that we can be as politicians and diplomats, writers, creators of law, and being able to amend a law, to change a law, to change something that we birth, and that's, I think, is normal. And I've also heard it expressed many times by people outside of here that are in other political positions and elected positions, that government is slow. And I used to say it needs to be deliberately slow so that all sides get to have input, and everyone in this room can have input to share and express the rights, the wrongs, my opinion, your opinion, and listen and respect each other's opinion until we get it down and refined, and a committee can come out and report to us as a body that this indeed is the best that they can, that can give us as a body for us to consider and vote on. So I wanted to express that, and I don't know right now whether to appeal, to repeal, to amend. It'll take me a couple of days to think about it and a couple of nights to sleep on it. But I appreciate all of you for all of us being able to consider these things in behalf of our employees, in behalf of our people, our brothers or sisters in this nation. They're the ones we're talking about. They're the ones that we're talking about their salaries. We're talking about how they work, where they work, and how they feel about coming to work here. All of this. Because in a few days, we're gone. But they have to stay here and offer services and work and do what they do. Thank you.
Thank you. Congressman Supernaw.
I'd like to ask a congressman, are you for it or against
it? I'm for amending it because it's something that came from us and I voted for it, and if it stinks, I want to fix it. Thank you.
I concur with that. And I'd like to get it over now and not have to revisit again in March, so I don't want to put it on the call. I'll be voting against it.
Thank you. Congressman Maker.
Well, this is a pretty big issue in our nation, and we have a lot of employees who right now feel like they're not being, you might say, attended to properly, because if the employees are unhappy and the morale is low, especially during the holidays, I mean, it's affecting the nation. The employees are the backbone of our nation, and a lot of our employees are, oh, say, tribal members who we represent. And this issue came to me when I started getting calls and people coming to me in person and talking about this this law. And I always felt that we are a government. We're not a factory here or someplace that builds a product to sell. So we're a little different in this, our merit system, than someplace out, you know, a factory somewhere. And I just think that this has to be looked at more carefully. And I know there's been a lot of work done on it, and I appreciate your work, all the people who worked on that. But if there's something wrong here that's going to affect our nation and our employees from now on, I think it needs to be looked at again.
Thank you. Congressman Shaw?
Very briefly. Well, I think either one of these positions is in support of the employees. I don't believe it should be reduced, that one's for the employees and the other one doesn't support the employees. I think both approaches, both positions, support the employees. One is more calculated and targeted fix what are considered the major flaws in legislation we passed. And the other is a wholesale repeal and a start-over approach. So I think that your position as you vote on this is going to be which approach do you favor? I don't think one should be considered pro-employee and the other not. They're both pro-employee, in my opinion.
Congressman Norris.
I'm going to be voting no, and I'll tell you why I'm going to be voting no. It's not because I don't support our employees, but this bill was worked on, and a lot of labor and thought went into this. And in Section 23 of our Constitution, it states that we, the Congress, are responsible for, or shall establish, a merit bill that our employees work under. And the legislation that comes out of Congress should not be used in a way to reflect badly, I think, on, or should not be used to reflect blame on Congress for not creating a good piece of legislation for the employees. With that said, again, I support our employees, and my no vote is not to be taken as not supporting employees, but hopefully we can work on this and create legislation that will improve this bill for the employees. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're well into the commerce meeting, so I think everyone's ready to vote now. I think we'll vote. Roll call, please.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
No.
Congressman Norris.
No.
Congressman Shaw.
No.
Congressman Supernov.
No.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
No.
Congresswoman Bethelhead.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
No.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. Motion fails. We're still on motions and notices. Congresswoman Bethelhead.
I have a government ops meeting from 1 to 3. Did I already say rules?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you? Okay. Dr. Shaw?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Speaker. I meant to give a report on our current fiscal status with availability of funds for appropriation earlier, but after we got into the retained revenue fund, my mind went blank, and the Speaker allowed me some time here at the end of motions and notices to tell you what we have available for appropriation and what's being requested in the line of tribal appropriations so far that have been filed. There are two large amounts that were in question prior to yesterday that were within our previous projected tribal revenue. One was $1.9 million of unappropriated funds from FY 2016. It was the consensus opinion of the Appropriations Committee yesterday that that money was not available for immediate appropriation. It would only be available following the annual audit of the nation, which won't be completed any earlier than February and perhaps as late as June. So the 1.9 will be removed from the projected revenue in an amended resolution that I plan to sponsor. The other is $2.9 million that remained in unobligated funds from FY 2015, which the congressional intent was that money was to go into the retained revenue fund. As you may realize, 1706 seeks to clarify whatever confusion may have existed as to which fiscal year was to be the initial deposit, or was to be considered the previous fiscal year, which was that $2.9 million. So, $1.9 million is unavailable. $2.9 million, if passed by the Congress, will be moved into the Retained Revenue Act, and that would leave us with $1.2 million available to appropriate during the session if the Congress sees fit. Right now, the total of tribal appropriation requests that have been filed to date is $1.5 million. So it's in excess of that amount available by about $330,000. I just would remind you, and it's my own personal opinion, this isn't part of an official report, that if the Congress seeks to appropriate tribal monies this session for any of the proposed pieces of legislation, you look at those that contain direct services first, as we have a congressional mandate for certain direct services that I think we have had a practice to honor since I've been on the Congress. And so we can't fund everything that's being asked for as of today, this minute, with regard to tribal appropriations, unless we use the permanent fund to fund some of those services for direct services. So I ask you to keep that in mind as you consider the bills as they go into your committees. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman. I was wondering if you could possibly put that in a email or something like that, put it in writing, those numbers, just to kind of keep track of and maybe distribute to all Congress so the committee chairs could have that in front
Absolutely.
Of them. Okay, thank you. Congressman Supernall?
After listening to Dr. Shaw's report and the discussion about adding things to the call, it occurred to me that I might have a problem here on this. Added to the call was the Graves land repurchase. But the request that came over, I just realized that asked for money for other properties besides the Graves repurchase. So I'd like to ask the opinion of Trey, if I could. Is that technically, have we actually inadvertently added things to the call that weren't on there?
That's
so
good.
Maybe we should reduce that request.
That's a good question. Mr. Gill, our legal counsel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Assistant Chief, members of Congress. If it's going to be considered, then it does need to be on the call per the special session law. So either the additional monies or whatever is in excess of the Graves purchase would have to be taken out, or the call has to be amended, and that would require notice, 2 days notice, and amend it to state something consistent with what the bill does, which is, I believe, an appropriation to the restricted property repurchase.
Yeah. Well, I voted against adding things to the call, so I think I'll advocate taking those other amounts out and limiting it to just the Graves property. And still, we have to consider whether we want to do that or not.
Okay, thank you. Congresswoman Evans?
I just wanted to ask a question. That language on the proclamation, is that one of the items that the chief's office sent over as a request? And
right.
It says verbatim there.
Graves land purchase.
Yeah, it says
verbatim
the
request.
The Graves repurchase land.
Okay.
Because I wasn't aware of it beforehand and I totally didn't. I thought it was.
I didn't think about
it. Literally for Graves.
And then it's supposed to be.
Get some other conversations.
Then I heard it was supposed to be confidential. Doesn't sound too confidential when you use the person's name. That's the problem.
Well, I've been going to the historic preservation meeting several times, and there was some discussion there, so I literally thought it was for Graves. So, okay, I have one. Congressman Mason?
I'd like to ask a question of you, if I may ask Congressman Shaw on appropriations.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw, you made mention we have $1.2 million available to use, in other words, for this special session. If we use all that money, if we tap it all out, use every bit of $1.2 million to fund these requests, does that mean we have then $0 if we should be called into a special session later for additional monies?
What we would have is we would have $2.9 million in the retained revenue fund at that point. And that's assuming that this, you know, amendment to the retained revenue fund passes the Congress. So that $2.9 would be available. And if it currently stands, it requires a supermajority vote of 8 to appropriate out of it. There would still be the permanent fund available. But as far as the general fund that we typically talk about, unencumbered funds, it'd be right at 0.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have the $2.9, the fund he's just talking about, that again, we could pull out of it, but we just have to have a supermajority if this passes. Okay. I wanted to notice the Congress that I was going to present a bill to amend the Osage Nation Revenue and Taxation Act to amend the definition of veteran to include persons on active duty for at least 2 years. So I just wanted to give that 2-day notice that I will, in 2 days, I will be asking to place that on the call to amend the definition of a veteran. So, my notice, Congresswoman Edwards.
Education is meeting from 4:30 to 6 today. And can I get one point of clarification? There is already $2.9 million in that retained revenue fund or not?
It's not in there until it's been clarified by passage of 1706, which clarifies that the initial deposit is to be from the FY 2015 unobligated funds, which is $2.9 million.
Okay, so right now there's no money in that retained revenue fund.
Correct.
Any other motions? Congresswoman Buffalohead.
Motion to adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Second.
Discussion?
Without objection, we're adjourned.